Well, in today's Holy Gospel, Jesus heals a man and then asks everyone to keep it a secret. And those who saw it go right out and tell everyone, in spite of Jesus' asking them to do otherwise. Why? Well, Jesus was in the land of the Gentiles, on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis, 10 pagan cities. And Jesus was no stranger to this region. He'd been there before. He had healed Legion here. The Legion were the demons that filled this man. And he sent those demons into the swine, the pigs, into the lake. Remember, Jews don't raise pigs. They consider them unclean. So this was not the Jewish side of the lake. Jesus, being in this region, did not want those who were in power at the temple to make a huge issue out of this. Jesus healed someone who was not a Jewish believer, who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they would surely be declaring this to be an abomination. And then they would call Jesus unclean for even touching a Gentile. Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and then spit and touched the man's tongue. That was a double whammy. This miraculous change was amazing. And what happened? The man began to speak. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who we heard this morning, foretold such miracles in verses of chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, which we heard this morning. It says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy." Now, this was clearly pointing to the great healing that would happen when Jesus was finally revealed as Messiah, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. I believe that when Jesus comes again, everyone, and I mean everyone, will recognize him and praise him as the anointed one of God, the Messiah of Christ. The Messiah, the Christ. Now, it'll be the choice of the people who do recognize him or not to praise him or not. And you know where each will go. It's simple. There's one way to live with Christ, and there's another without Christ. And here, this is all taking place on the Gentile side, or the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, among 10 large pagan cities. Now, the Galilee region is in the extreme northern part of the nation of Israel, and at the heart of it is the Sea of Galilee. This freshwater lake is fed by one body of water, and that is the Jordan River, which comes from the melting mountain snows that comes down and feeds into the Jordan River, to the Jordan River, and then that water is coming into the Sea of Galilee. It's amazing. Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 1, referred to this region as the Galilee of the Gentiles. Why? Because much of the trade from the Far East to the West came through this area. You see, its location was prime because there was a crossroads to the area called the Via Maris. Via Maris, or the way to the sea. And that connected the East, the 10 cities, the Decapolis, and then went through Capernaum on to the Mediterranean. Remember that roadway, or remnants of that roadway, are visible today, and I've seen it. It happens to go through an area called Megiddo, or Armageddon. Megiddo, the mount, or tell of Megiddo, is right by this plain, which is absolutely amazing, but you can see the crossroads. Now, Jesus did the greater part of his ministry in this region, in the Galilee region, and it was available to both Jew and Gentile. He preached the Sermon on the Mount in the Galilee region, overlooking the Sea of Galilee on the western shore. He fed 5,000 men and their families. He fed 4,000 men and their families. And he performed so many great miracles here. And it was on the mountain in the Galilee region that the risen Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission that we can read in Matthew chapter 28, to bring the gospel to the whole world. It's amazing. Tell the world, filled with Jews and Gentiles, about Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus' ministry in the Galilee fulfilled what God had foretold through his prophet Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus was born. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, God said, a great light would shine in the Galilee after the arrival of the Messiah. And he predicted in Isaiah 49, 6, I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And God did fulfill these promises, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. That's from Acts 26, verse 23. Now, one of my very favorite verses in the New Testament is from the book of Acts. And it's the first chapter of the book of Acts, verse 8. The resurrected Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives, and he's about to leave the apostles. And he instructs his disciples that they are to be witnesses. He says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me first define what a witness is. A witness is someone who sees something and goes to tell what they saw, whether it be to court, to police, or to other people. It's what they saw, what they heard, and what they know. And that's exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. And that means everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, this invitation is not inclusive, or you should say, it's not exclusive. It's not just the St. Andrew's Anglican Church, or the church next door, or the churches down the street, or any of the other churches in the area. It's up to the hearer to accept Jesus or not. And it's comforting to know that all Gentile believers are what we say grafted in to the family of Abraham, and so adopted as heirs the kingdom of God. Now this morning, Marilyn is teaching the youngsters about grafted in from Romans chapter 11, verse 17, about being grafted in. There's a beautiful symbol. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but this symbol is of a menorah that goes into a Jewish star, or Megan David, and then down to the ichthys, the fish, you know, the thing that you see on the back of Christians' cars. This is an amazing symbol because it runs together. It says we are grafted in to the menorah, to the Jewish star, the Star of David, to the star or the fish, which is the Christian symbol. And we are grafted in. You know, talk about fruit trees, talk about any kind of trees. If you want to make it special, you want to make it bigger, you prune it first, and then you can take and graft parts from either a stronger part or another tree and graft it in so that it will grow together. God has taken Gentile believers, and grafted them in to the family of Abraham, or if you will, the root of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Jesse is David's father. And you can read all about that in 1 Kings. But it's important to know that as the body of Christ, we're called. We are even strongly commissioned. And then we are charged. What happens when you charge something? Anybody here have a cell phone? What happens when you don't charge it? It dies. And then it's no good. You have to charge it again. Or a car. You got a bum battery. and you go out on a chilly morning and you go to and it, or tick, 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 it doesn't start. So you got to go get the charger or get the other car and the jumpers so that you can give it a boost, if you will. We are charged. We are boosted. We are chosen for the job of sharing the good news of salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a Greek word. Everybody in here speak Greek? I know there are two people in here that have learned Greek. That's Ruth, and of course, it's Grant. Well, Deacon Bob, too, and maybe even Deacon Diane. And the word is this, euangelion. Euangelion. It means good news. Well, good news means gospel. So to share the euangelion of Jesus Christ means you are telling, you're being a witness. And that's just what we're told to do. We're told to share. Now, how many often do people tell, hey, do you want to hear what my son did? Or you want to hear what my daughter did or my grandchild did? George is always coming in and telling me about Riley, his granddaughter, who happens to be a softball superstar. South Carolina? Yeah. Okay. See, I listen. I listen. I even turn these up occasionally. Just like you, right? We're told to share things. Well, we want to tell you what they did. We witness about that. An amazing event in lives. We tell people about our friends. Well, let's say, for example, you've got a group of people who are going to go to France for a few days. Yeah, people still do travel occasionally. And they're going to have a great time. And then they come back, they're going to witness to us about pictures and stories. Now, I can tell you that Jim and Barbara went out west. And I was so grateful. He shared with me to be a member of his group of their great adventure. And I saw places of this country that I didn't even know existed. But they witnessed about their travels and the glory of God that they saw in these places. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what we're called to do. Well, these people come back. Now, listen, folks. If we can do something like Jim and Barbara did, or like these fictitious people that went to France who come back and tell stories, if we can have people do that, why can't we tell people about our best friend? Why can't we tell about the one who saved us from sin and death? You're here this morning because Jesus is your best friend, and you want your children and grandchildren to know about Jesus. What a blessing. I had a visit this week from Elizabeth. She came in, sat down in my office, and we chatted in English and Spanish. And what a witness she is. Hola, Elizabeth. Hola, yes, indeed. She witnessed to me about things that she's learned. She is not afraid. And then she says, God bless you. And then said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. That young lady has been taught by Jennifer and Eric and Granddaddy and Grandma about who Jesus is and what he means to her. And she shows it when she talks. That's being a witness for Jesus. God had been speaking through his prophets for hundreds of years to declare something was going to happen. And when the people, the Jewish people, rejected Jesus as the Messiah, then the gospel would be preached to the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but we Gentiles are very happy that this happened. I want to remind you the words from the old man Simeon as he held the baby Jesus in his arms on the day of his circumcision, the naming ceremony in the temple. And this is recorded in Luke chapter 2. Simeon said this, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." He was not being exclusive. He was talking inclusively about God's plan all along that the world would receive the words of his Savior, not just the Jews. Then there are the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Romans 1:16, and I want you to really take this to heart. He said, and he wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then the Gentile." Brothers and sisters in Christ, every day we should be looking for opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our lives, whether it be sitting down and coming in and saying hola, or whether it's sharing about what your grandchildren are doing, what your children are doing, or what Jesus has been doing in your life. Or it could be online as a travelogue about a trip out to the western part of this country. Every day we should be looking for opportunities to share who Jesus is and what he has done in our lives. And then let folks experience his love firsthand. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this should never, ever, ever be a secret again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.